Can I get a non-paywall text to the story?
Please?
They're actually doing first hour CNN on a story that no one has access to. It is fascinating. It's such a big story that virtually no one's read it. But I'll be on...
to talk about it.
Because... Oh, and what's the story? Is it the... well, I mean, people can guess. People can guess right now. Let's have the story. Did I mention anything to hint to it?
Yeah.
You did. You mentioned Olivia.
Oh, and I said
And you said
press.
The free press.
Oh, son of a bitch. I didn't set that up. Well. We could have done it like a whole survey thing and increased engagement, and I blew it.
That's all right. That's all right.
People still don't know. People still don't know.
Which story it could be.
Yeah. My initial guess was that it was how much mud is covering New York City right now.
There is so much mud. It's so the city
mud
is so
dummy.
Dirt. Because yeah, exactly. Because there hasn't been let's not start with this. Let's do some other serious stuff and then we'll get to it. I mean, even on our 3 hour YouTube show, this is a low, like, this is like cleanup at the end of the day. I don't even know if we would have covered this.
No, absolutely not.
Well, the lead is with Jake Tapper.
All right. So, this is, I don't even, Lindsey Graham, this has been like, he's been reborn. Literally, it's like he was on the brink of death and now he's back, day drinking again. Super excited about this bombing Iran. Somewhere, John McCain is smiling down upon him. Thank you, young Jedi.
Yes.
You were able to accomplish my life's mission of bomb Iran.
All that blackmail that's been collected about Lindsay's extracurricular activities is finally paying off.
It's all paying off. Here is Lindsey Graham. Here he is. He's super excited about what's happening in Iran. And why stop there?
This regime goes down. We're going to have a new Mideast. We're going to make a ton of money. Nobody will threaten the Straits of Hormuz. And we're going to win. Israel and the United States, you just wait to see what comes in the next 2 weeks.
Pause it for one second. It's okay. So 2 weeks.
You just wait to see what comes.
Do you realize how much money you're all going to have? Oh, I'm sorry. When he said we, he did not mean all of you. I'm sorry. I misspoke. We're going to get so rich from this.
He's on mornings with Maria.
Yeah.
Just checking.
He's been up all night. Yeah. He's
mornings.
He's just waiting to see what comes.
What comes in the next 2 weeks?
The next 2 weeks meaning what?
We're going to blow the hell out of these people. This regime is in a death row now. It is going to be on its knees. If we get in a fight,
that's his favorite phrase.
I'm in Miami. You see this hat? Free Cuba. Stay tuned. Yeah. The liberation of Cuba is upon us. It's just a matter of time now. You see this hat? Make Iran great. President Trump said the only way to make Iran great is for the people to take over. We're marching through the world. We're cleaning out the bad guys. We're going to have relationships with new
people. We're going to have relationships with new people. We're going to blow them and
they'll be
on their knees. I'm just those were the three that
I'm putting into March 23rd. Lindsey Graham. Everything's going to change. And let's just make sure that we have this bookmark this this video because
it's gonna be richer.
It's gonna be 2 weeks and everything's gonna be fine. We're gonna be so much richer and everybody's gonna be wearing hats and oh my god.
Right. Yeah. All the merch that's gonna happen.
Yes, and don't worry, you know, like he was talking about his Christian faith and they're in a war against us and what did he say that sort of like they'd consider me an infidel? Not sure exactly why.
He didn't explain why.
We're gonna be living in a world where, you know, infidelism's gonna be okay, and my Christian brothers are gonna be okay with it. Here is Kevin Cramer for Lindsey Graham. We are going to have defeated Muslims, but also we're all going to get rich. And for Kevin Cramer, senator from North Dakota, here he is talking about why we got to do this.
Why are we at war with Iran? I'm confusing.
You are?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, there are several good reasons for us to take out Iran's nuclear capabilities. First of all, because they're willing to use it.
There was an Iran nuclear deal signed.
Pause it for 1 second. Yeah, let's be clear. Iran.
Remember, he agreed to.
Yeah, hold on. Let's pause it. Iran has no nuclear capabilities.
Yeah.
We can't get rid of Iran's nuclear capabilities because they don't have any. Now, what we could do theoretically is get rid of their ability to enrich uranium, which they use for commercial purposes. And all the agencies that study this say that's what they've been doing. Although since the last deal was scuttled, they have begun to try and compile enriched uranium because, and unfortunately for them, they didn't get a bomb in time to stop Trump from bombing. But I just wanted to stop it there. Let's go back a little bit. And he's going to explain. Well, one is stop them from getting nukes. He doesn't care about the deal.
There was an Iran nuclear deal signed in 2015.
Yeah, thank God we got out of that. Yeah. Remember, he agreed to a deal that allowed Iran to have a nuclear weapon.
No, they didn't.
Thank God we intervened in that. And they were on their way to doing it.
No, they weren't.
And, yeah, they were. Yeah, they were licensed to have, to enrich to a level that would allow a nuclear weapon.
No.
Insane.
You know, the U.S. Republicans kept saying, they almost have a nuclear weapon. They almost have a nuclear weapon. It's not true. They don't have a nuclear weapon. And I have one question.
Thank goodness they don't. And
does Israel have nuclear weapons?
Listen, the United States and Israel are ironclad partners. We need them in the Middle East. We need them to be strong. We have a biblical responsibility to them as well as an allied responsibility to Israel. We should never sever that relationship, particularly to the benefit of killers like Iran.
Is that your office?
I'm sorry, wait. We have a biblical responsibility to Israel?
What?
Incidentally, this is a U.S. senator, not a high cleric of the Christian church or, I don't know. I don't even think a chief rabbi would argue that we have a biblical responsibility. Some of them might.
But all they know is violence in Iran and in the Middle East and those Arabs and those Muslims and those Persians. All they know is violence because they are religious fundamentalists. And as Sam Harris would say, Islam is the motherlode of bad ideas. It makes them uniquely more violent, the fact that they're motivated by religion.
Oh, okay.
That sounds like us. But I just want to, the enrich, he's just so, the lie about the JCPOA is so insane. Do you know that under that, it was less than 4% their maximum or enrichment levels? That's what Iran was restricted to. And there would be a third party that would go in and monitor it. You would need, for highly enriched uranium for nuclear weapons, it has to be over 90%. So there was independent verification. This is part of the deal Obama struck. This is going in there and looking at that level of enrichment. And it's nowhere even close to the place where they would need to be to make a nuclear weapon.
I think we also should not just blow past the biblical responsibility thing.
Probably not.
Because I think it's easy to sort of say, like, oh, what a nut job. And you'd be accurate. But I wonder, like, I wish they had said, like, can you outline what that biblical responsibility is? How do we have a biblical responsibility? Did he say to Israel or to bomb Iran? But either
Israel
one.
Israel was the implication.
To maintain that ally.
What is the, I mean, he's obviously talking as a Christian. Yeah. He's Christian. The Christians have a biblical responsibility to do what for Israel? Why?
What's the end game here?
I think you don't even need to say game. I think the end.
That's the end times. Yeah.
This guy, within I don't know how many minutes, when pressed as to why we're doing this, says it is because we need to bring about the end times. That's what he's saying. That's what biblical responsibility means. We need to set it up so that the third coming, or second coming, sorry, I got confused. When Tatum showed up, I got confused. The second coming of Christ shows up. We have a responsibility to make sure that all the Jews get back to Israel so that Jesus returns. What part of that don't you understand, constituent?
Read the Bible, okay?
This is in terms of like political constituencies in this country that drive foreign policy, the evangelical Christian Zionist right is one of the most powerful political constituencies in the country. And you know, when all the issues that we worry about, like say climate change and the climate catastrophe, for example, what these Christian evangelical fundamentalist Zionists see is actually that's evidence of the fact that the rapture and the end times are coming. So all of the stuff about like making the planet hospitable for people on Earth, or say like creating an economic system that doesn't immiserate people, providing social services for folks that are here on Earth, they are uninterested in actually engaging with that because they're so focused on the heavenly afterlife. And anything that goes negatively around the world in this time period is actually something that they welcome. The what they're seeing in the Middle East with Iran in clouds of smoke, this looks like biblical prophecy to them. This looks like it's finally happening, and him outright saying it is evidence of that. Can we just quickly play this from Friday? This is like what Trump, the anti-war guy, neocon Don.
Wait, was this from Friday?
Yes, yes, yes. This is what this is. There is like this deeply racist portrayal of people in the Middle East as jihadist fundamentalists who are all unable to kind of deal with
the modern world,
this Orientalism. This is what's happening in our government.
We are honored to come before your presence today, lifting up the arms of our president.
Please don't.
We pray for your continued blessing and favor to rest upon him. We pray for wisdom from heaven to flood his heart, his mind, and Lord, you will guide him
what
in these challenging
right
times that we're facing today. I pray for your grace and your protection over him. I pray for your grace and protection
correct
over our troops and all of our men and women serving in our armed forces. And Father, we just pray you'll continue to give our president the strength that he needs to lead our great nation as we come back to one nation under God, yes, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We pray your heavenly blessing upon him in Jesus' name.
And I was thinking about this a little because that actor Shia LaBeouf, this is a bit of a tangent, but he's one of the recent converts to Catholicism, and he's had some issues with, you know, abusing women and stuff like that. We also know Russell Brand is a convert to Catholicism who's also being charged with rape, right, in the UK and other offenses. You know, Trump speaking a lot about his death and how he doesn't think he's going to get into heaven might make him a little bit more susceptible to arguments from evangelical fundamentalist leaders around him saying that he's bringing about the third or the second coming of Jesus. I'm not saying that he might believe that, but he is probably susceptible to them saying you're a godly man and here are the ways that you can fulfill your like great leadership promise here on Earth, given his also dementia addled mind.
I think he thinks he's Jesus, and I think he's always thought that he's Jesus, just a little bit better. A little bit better. It's he's good, I'm good. But look, this is not new. This is not a Trump phenomenon.
No.
This is not like, you know, I can point to a book written over 20 years ago that is now available for only $4.51 on eBay. And that is, there it is, FUBAR.
FUBAR.
Written by myself and Stephen Sherrill, available in not even book bins anymore. You have to go to eBay to find this, where we talked about the Christian right being the dominant player in the Republican Party. And that this stuff is all been, you know, it was sort of submerged more over in the teens. We didn't hear about it as much. And only after Donald Trump picked the greatest theocrat this country has known, being Mike Pence, so that he could prove to these lunatics that he was one of them. But Donald Trump won evangelicals by 83%. If you take away white evangelicals from his win, which of course you can't, that's the nature of the country, everybody votes. But if you did, you would find that he won no other group.
Yep.
No other group. Non-insane white people, he did not win. He did not win black people. He did not win brown people. He did not win men or women. Non-evangelical, evangelical whites, he won by such a massive margin. And regardless of what is motivating him, it is sort of like the inverse of what Clara Mattai was explaining to us. We need to organize on the ground so that any politicians who we give our support to, we can hold accountable and force into certain decisions. That's what they're doing. They're already organized by this one sort of central concept of, I'm an evangelical Christian and I'm just waiting for whatever my pastor tells me that means this week.
Yeah. And when we talk about political constituencies having an impact over the politicians in office, that's part of why we were arguing that Kamala Harris would be a better choice for to vote for in 2024 over Trump, because that is who his political constituency is, regardless of their, you know, what's in their heart about Israel and Palestine. We know that the far right evangelical Christian Zionist coalition that Trump has to be responsive to is the most extreme driver of Israel's genocide, perhaps in the country, at least from a numbers perspective of the amount of people, Christian evangelicals, who support this from as voters.
And understand, like, you know, they are a huge, huge driver of the anti-Islam sentiment. It is coming from these people. Stinky Boy 420. Hey, I just got brain surgery a week ago. Can I get a shofar? Got to say, it was a good week to be mostly sedated, but I'm a lot more aware at this point, and I got to say, it sucks. Take me back to the hospital. Yeah.
Glad you're doing all right.
This also feels like a throwback, since we just plugged FUBAR, which I should say I'm not receiving royalties from anymore. In fact, that
from
stopped
the
moment that the book was released. I stopped receiving royalties. Be that as it may, there was another throwback moment this week, and it came from Jake Tapper.
Huh.
And Jake Tapper finds out that there is, and listen, I this is not to celebrate a politician, but it is hard for many of you, the vast majority of this show, people who listen and watch this show, the vast majority are younger than I am. Something like 75% of our audience is between the ages of like 24 and 44 or something like that.
Hello.
And I'm telling you, you were five, or maybe you were like early 20s during the Iraq War. Your early 20s probably paid a little more attention to this stuff. But what Jake Tapper is about to say to Chris Murphy, and he's not just like, it's not a hypothetical. He's trying to introduce the notion to see if Murphy is susceptible to this. This was the overwhelming response about anything that had to do with not with trying to end the Iraq War for years. Here is Jake Tapper trying out one of the oldies.
The administration is reportedly weighing Congress to approve an additional $50 billion in funding for these operations. You have said you're a hell no, not just a no, on funding the war. We have seen this movie before. We know that that vote will be cast as, especially if you run for higher office, you voting against the troops.
Oh, come on. I mean, the American people don't want this war.
They don't want this war. They have seen what happens when American troops go into places like Iraq, places like Afghanistan. Ultimately, we get a lot of people killed. We waste a lot of dollars. The one thing the American people are clear about is that they do not want the United States dragged into another long-term war in the Middle East. If you support the troops, then you should be voting against funding this war so that we get our troops out of harm's way. Virtually nothing good happened from sending thousands of Americans to die inside Iraq in the 2000s. And if we don't learn that lesson, then shame on every single one of us.
So
I will tell you what him saying. If you support the troops, then you cut funding. The only people who would say that on cable television, I can tell you who they were. There was about five of us to the extent that we could get on cable television and say that. The idea of a sitting U.S. senator saying those words, I think Mike Ravel had come back at one point. He may have said that. But the idea of someone who is running for president in 3 years,
mm-hmm.
2 years, saying those words is huge. Or at least it's a huge, I mean, this is not to give him credit because it seems like a fairly slam dunk, you know, sort of almost like middle of the road response. But it is a huge sign of just how unpopular this action is and how anyone with like any semblance of sanity realizes this is a huge mistake. The Iraq war never during its existence got as unpopular as this war is now at its beginning.
Yeah. And you see Trump's flippant quotes about, is this going to incentivize an Iranian terrorist attack on U.S. soil? And he goes, I guess. I mean, they actively do not care about American lives, and they're saying it openly. Hegseth saying, well, cost of war, if some more Americans die, we now know 7 Americans have died. Here it is. Oh, this is a different one.
This is
one.
About the oil.
Okay.
Prices.
Well, then, but I did, then I, just to then go back to just the premise of Jake Tapper's question there. It is amazing how they believe that they are objective news sources, but he's so emotional in the way that the question is framed, trying to push. Can we just play the question for a second?
I will say I think he was.
Well,
go ahead.
You might not know what I'm going to say. So can we just play the first part of the question?
The administration is reportedly weighing Congress to approve an additional $50 billion in funding for these operations. You have said you're a hell no, not just a no on funding the war. We have seen this movie before. We know that vote will be cast as, especially if you run for higher office, you voting against the troops.
Well, okay, so we'll be cast as.
The American people.
That is not true. I mean, he's saying that from that context, but you're giving at that time, the Iraq war was, because of after 9/11, there was such an effort to manufacture consent, it was fairly popular. But with this, you're not supporting the troops. Like, it's almost like he's trying to will it into existence.
He's definitely denying any role of the media or the fact that it's not going to be cast as if it's, falling off of a coconut tree. It's going to be cast if people like him decide to cast it that way.
I guess. I guess that's true. That's true. But my point is just that, like, there is right now, I think, some members of the press, Tapper, other Dana Bash, whatever, people on CNN who are from an old class in the media that are trying to represent the interests of Zionists or the military-industrial complex in the face of facts that are staring right in front of them, and they are ignoring obvious polling and obvious facts about this to create a reality out of whole cloth that doesn't exist anymore. And I think you have to have some sort of awareness about that, even if you're as, like, brainwashed as a lot of members of the media class is. Go on.
Well, the way that he's doing it, though, this is the trick that people have to watch and see. He is making it as if this is an inevitability, that it's going to be cast this way. Now, I think it would be accurate for him to say, like, we've seen this movie before.
Right.
Which, you know, suggests on some level, like, it's going to be a repeat. It's going to be cast this way. But who's casting it? Like, it is incumbent upon him in this question to say Republicans are going to attempt to cast it this way. But he doesn't want to sort of like say that this is a Republican thing, because he very well may be the one of the people who are casting it this way. Because they certainly were 20 years ago, but right now he doesn't want to commit to that.
But that's also why, because there isn't even that political constituency among the Republicans that might say that.
Isn't there, though?
I don't think so.
The Republican
leadership, yes. That you wouldn't be supporting the troops, but even Republican voters aren't in favor of Iran.
We're talking about politicians.
Or, yeah. Because
Republican, you know, voters, he doesn't care about the voters. Like,
yeah.
You know, he's talking about, like, this is going to come from the Republican leadership. That's what it is. 100% guaranteed. And the question is, he's already signaling that I won't necessarily be skeptical of that claim. Because if I was, yeah. I would do what we do all the time. Democrats say that there's going to be $40 million worth, or 40, you know, 4 million people cut from Medicaid. Well, 4 million people are going to get cut from Medicaid. Well, Democrats say that. He didn't say Republicans are going to say. He didn't say that your political opponents are going to say. He just made it as like.
But he's creating distance from his own kind of political ideology about it.
Exactly.
I just think it's interesting that I've never seen this kind of effort from mainstream reporters like this be so disconnected from any like natural political constituency that would back them there.
Well, Emma, there is a natural constituency that would back them.
Okay.
And you should be aware, there's a family on Long Island named the Baileys.
Oh, yes.
And they live in a ranch house that is located in Chuck Schumer's brain. And in Chuck Schumer's brain, they send up, they basically send messages to Chuck Schumer through fiber. They have fiber now out
there. Oh, wow.
Yes.
And social media.
They send a message and they say, Chuck, We want funding for this war. I know it's going to be difficult for you, but let's make it happen, please. Because don't forget what your job is. Or forget what your job is, but don't forget what you're supposed to do. And so he went out there and forgot what his job was, but remembered what he's supposed to do.
But I have many jobs as majority leader, as the first Jewish majority leader ever. And one is to fight for aid to Israel, all the aid that Israel needs. I will continue to fight for it. And we delivered more security assistance to Israel, our ally, under my leadership than ever, ever before. We will keep doing that, everybody. It is so important.
Wow, people
I will always
even,
fight.
People are even a little bit at the Jewish Community Relations Council. It doesn't even seem as exciting. Okay. I have got some very bad news for Chuck Schumer. You are not Senate Majority Leader. You are Senate Minority Leader. So, okay, I forgot my job. But I remember what I'm supposed to do.
But is he in the minority, really?
Well, I'm not leading the majority, but I'm part of it, at least in regards to what I want to fund the war. And here's the best thing. No side deals this time. We're going to really hand it to Iran because that's what we want to do, right?
Chuck, do you think that it's a good thing in the face of rising anti-Semitism?
Mr. Majority Leader to you, young lady.
Mr. Majority Leader, do you think it's a good thing in the face of rising anti-Semitism to have you as a, I would say, pretty religious zealot about, or I would say Zionist zealot, out front conflating Judaism with Zionism, as Zionism is responsible for genocide and now, more broadly, a disastrous war in the Middle East?
They're going to sound tough in public.
I didn't hear what you... What was it? Say it again.
Do you think it's helpful to have you screaming from the rooftops?
I don't scream from the rooftops. I use the social media. And through my Tiki-Talki account, which you can go and see, I've got to get a good handle for it. No side deals. That's underscore. No side underscore deals on TikTok. So check it out.
This is no longer about Chuck Schumer. It's about every other senator. Liz Boren, it's time.
Yeah.
This, leaking into this Fight Club stuff, I'm sorry, it's embarrassing now. Chris Van Hollen, go into J Street to talk about how Apex bad. Not enough. You're not doing nearly enough. This whole thing that happened in the 2 years ago with Joe Biden being not fit for another term and the Democrats acting like, oh, yeah, we had to learn a lesson about that and how we all had a conspiracy to deny that reality that everyone could see. Everyone sees this reality now, too. This is actually even more apparent and more urgent than having old people in the office, is how we're corrupted by a Jim Crow like basically the Southern Democrats. But this is the one that we can't even talk about. No one wants to address this. Address it now. Kick Schumer, kick Jeffries out.
We need to, they need to take this fight public. We said this, I think, on Thursday.
Absolutely.
Last week. It leaks to the New York Times are not enough. I really do think that it's incumbent upon the entire caucus at this point, for the sake of our democracy, to stand up and say that this person cannot be the face of the Democratic Party going forward.
Where are all the populists out there now urging? Where are the Ezra Kleins and the David Shores and all the Iglesias urging? This is a classic, like, 80-20 type of...
Exactly. A motivating 80-20 issue. It's not like gun control where that's 90% on the Democrat side or whatever for universal background checks, but we know that that doesn't motivate people to go to the polls unless you're a gun zealot, but you're voting for Republicans anyway. The Israel issue is a motivating issue for voters to vote against genocide, to vote against people who take AIPAC funding, because it's a stand-in for the people that are prioritizing, say, militarism or corruption or what have you, or religious zealotry over your everyday needs. People are going out and voting. If you see an AIPAC tag on people, they're getting voted out, or at the very least, they're making these races really close, especially also when you look at the fact that the Israel-aligned candidates have a lot more money.
Yeah, I mean, this is a slam dunk. And to the extent that there's like, I'm actually convinced that once it becomes apparent, if it becomes apparent, and like I say, I think there is a 25-35% chance, maybe more, that Trump will just say like, we won, so we can go now. But in the event that this goes longer than 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see people who have been like just disbelieving that this could actually be happening. You're going to start to see even greater numbers of people opposing it simply because they're beginning to realize like it's real. Because I feel like there's just no way he's going to do this. This is so dumb. But I think there's going to be increasing. This is like for the Democrats,
yeah,
from just strictly as a political sense, put aside the obvious, I think, sort of strategic and tactical failures that are associated with this. I mean, even the military, we're going to start getting more and more leaks about how the military is like, we're not into this. Putting that aside, as strictly a political matter, we know wars don't get more popular going forward.
The problem, though. They're not tethered right now. Like, that's the scary thing. Isn't that what?
Well,
the
that's
scary,
what I'm saying.
They're not tethered.
All the popularists,
yes,
who are like, you need to be back. They're not there.
But they're not tethered to that.
Lie to that.
They are not tethered. Unfortunately, the public opinion. They think they can manipulate around it with the money and the donations that they're getting, and it's more ideological.
80-20 matters when you can do a reactionary thing like attack trans people.
Yeah, and I mean, so we just got this. IM Goliath. What do you mean when you say Zionism is responsible for genocide? Are you saying American Jews who believe in the existence of Israel are responsible for genocide? So I actually think that's a good IM to illustrate exactly why this is such political malpractice. And oh my God, Ben Shapiro's eyebrows. You need to take this down. It is too distracting in the middle of trying to make a substantive point here. But it is absolutely insane. Okay. No, When we were just playing that clip of the senator from North Dakota and all of those religious leaders who are evangelical leaders praying around Donald Trump, what Chuck Schumer and the Democrats, what they've engaged in since their complicity in Joe Biden's genocide when it started in 2023 and Israel's genocide, was participating in that conflation. Because if we were actually talking about Zionism in reality and speaking about it as to what it is, which is a nationalist religious ideology that is tied up in colonialism and conquest, then there would be less confusion. But the Democrats have participated and liberal Zionists have participated in that conflation, which has led to the rise of anti-Semitism. So, no, I do not blame all Jews for the genocide, but I do blame both Christian and Jewish Zionists and that ideology, unless there has been some sort of a change of heart since the act of genocide began for it.
But specifically in terms of the way that question was asked, we know you don't have to be Jewish to be Zionist.
Yeah.
We know. I mean, Joe Biden has told himself... us this, and all the Christian Zionists out there, there are probably in this country more Christian Zionists than Jewish Zionists.
Yep.
Which means that this is not a Jewish question. And so when you phrase it as a Jew, you might as well say, it's like, are you saying, as a guy from Worcester who believes that Israel should exist as a ethno-religious state, are you saying that all people from Worcester are bad?
Right. Right.
It is the case that for many of us who were raised Jewish, that a deep emotional connection to Israel was ingrained in us. It certainly was. When I was there as a confirmation student for a couple of months over the summer, I don't think we had birthright tours then. I don't think that's what they called it then. I certainly remember like referring to Israel. When Israel was attacking Lebanon, I remember saying to the rabbi, oh, I thought we don't do that. I mean, I would have said we at that time. And despite the fact that I found most Israeli people that I dealt with being very off-putting, and they themselves did not see a we per se, except for how really oddly, I just remember this, we met with a bunch of high school students and we were sitting around like, how are our identities connected? And really, like, the main theme was our enemies wouldn't make a distinction between us, which gives you a sense of like, you know, when that identity comes out of that victimhood, things can go sideways very quickly. But so that's just really to sort of piggyback on Emma's point about that conflation. It's irrelevant. Your Judaism is irrelevant to your Zionism. It is irrelevant. It may have been what first led you to it, but you can see where that project has led.
Yeah, I mean, we get a follow-up here. Goliath, you don't have to be Zionist to be Jewish, agree. The quote was, Zionism is responsible for genocide. Many Jews are Zionists, so Emma is talking
this
about
is the,
those
that is the
Jews.
Dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It really
That's,
is.
Do you hate people? Because all of those Zionists,
yeah,
not many,
right.
All of them are people.
So
do you hate people?
It's just identifying it as a specific kind of nationalism. It's like saying conservatism is responsible for X. I'm not blaming every individual conservative for every action that the conservative governments have taken, but it's
so
baby brain.
But it's so stupid because many Jews are Zionists. So Emma is talking about those Jews. She's not just talking about those Jews. She's talking about the former president of the United States, who's not a Jew. She's talking about those Christian Zionists who just said on a clip, we have a biblical responsibility to do this. I'm sorry. You're trying to make something in a different way than it is, and it's not that way. And what you're doing
Yeah.
Is specific because you cannot defend Zionism. That's the problem you have. You cannot defend the ideology of Zionism without tying it to some subsect of people who share that ideology. You need to defend the idea. You need to defend the idea that there can be no democracy in Israel, that it must be an exclusionary project. You need to defend that it leads to expansion and taking of other people's land and liberty and life. That's what you need to defend. Defend that. Don't defer to the fact that some people who believe in this ideology are Jews. That's absurd. That's like, there are some Jews who are conservatives. Does that mean that I hate Jews who are conservatives? That I hate Jews because there are Jews who believe in conservatism? There are Jews who believe in we should cut taxes. So if I'm against people who believe that we should cut taxes for rich people, I'm against Jews because some Jews believe that. I mean, you understand that you need to defer to that because you cannot defend the ideology.
Yep.
And I'll tell you something. When you talk about anti-Semitism, what you're doing is putting Jewish lives in danger. Because you're saying it's inherent in the Jew to support these policies that lead to apartheid. It's inherent in the Jew, you're saying. You're saying it's inherent in the Jew to support policies that lead to apartheid. It's inherent in the Jew to be expansionist and kill unarmed civilians. That's what you're saying.
Yep.
And I resent it. And it endangers me and my family, and I don't appreciate it. So get the F out of here with that.
Yeah. Grow up would be the other way.
Speaking of which.
You know, growing up.
Somebody hit puberty.
Oh, yes. Speaking of which. That's from time to time we chew. No. Let's start with something in the past.
Okay.
So that we can see the evolution.
Okay.
Some people, I feel like I coined the phrase, Ben Shapiro is the Pope of the Jews. And here's the thing that I don't think I understood when I said that. I said he's the Pope of the Jews because he proclaims who's a good Jew and who's a bad Jew. And he said that Bernie Sanders is a bad Jew because of whatever and this and that. And if you're Jewish, you know that there's no such thing as a pope. And then, in fact, there's not even like there's a head rabbi for different sects of Judaism. But to be a Jew is actually not to have a central authority that tells you what is a good or a bad Jew. Different sects will sometimes rise up in narrow circumstances to be able to, like, you know, in Israel. But they're doing that through a political process, not through a theological process to define who is a Jew. Even matrilineal Judaism was something that changed it originally, of course, was patrilineal, because the first Jew was a guy named Abe who decided that, like, all the idols were bad. So... there is no sort of like a person who is an edict. But what I did not realize when I coined the phrase Pope of the Jew, popes are considered almost like a quasi-deity.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not realize that's what I was conferring upon Ben Shapiro, because we're starting to see evidence of it. This guy has the capacity to transform. Here is Ben Shapiro. Just like, when was this? Like
March 2024.
Okay,
this
a year ago.
This is a year.
2 years ago.
2 years ago. And look at him. We can play a little.
This is who we recognize.
I don't even know what he's talking about in this video.
Yeah, we don't even know.
This is him coming to support Trump after having endorsed DeSantis.
As most of you know, I'm voting for Donald Trump in November. I've said so many, many times at this point. But I'm not just voting for Donald
Trump.
Okay,
pause it for a second. Right there. That's a good shot. Look at this man. He is in human form.
Mm-hmm.
But within 2 small years, he has been able to transform into something greater than human form. He has brow-maxed into something even more amazing. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Look at that. Look at that. He has...
Oh, my God.
He has doubled... No,
it's eyebrow
tripled.
Raising.
No. It's he has quadrupled the size of his... Not the length of his
eyebrows.
The volume. The width. Like, I didn't know that eyebrows could actually grow that way. He is the Pope.
Has anyone ever done a hair transplant for their eyebrows?
I think my guess is in about 2 weeks or 3 weeks, there will be butterflies coming off the front of his face.
I mean, honestly, they look like curtains in front of his eyes. And then at night, they just scan down like and go and then he can go to sleep. Because
is this a camera,
it's an eye mask.
Is this a camera problem? Can we get a shot on with him on the show, like a current one to do apples to apples? Because this is not possible. It's not possible. I've seen people who like. The amount of eyebrow, what is it called? Shaving?
Right.
That threading? He would have had to.
Threading?
What is it when you.
Plucking? Like,
plucking or whatever.
Plucking or threading or to.
To make it
shaping.
That thin
yeah.
back then. Because that's the only answer, right?
Right.
Is that he must have gone through a period of like.
Oh, yeah. He must have been. But that doesn't
but
even
I,
look
still
humanly possible. I've never seen anyone with eyebrows like this in terms of just the. Look. The thickness.
Is this recent?
It's also
yeah,
the
this
length
is one
of
more
them.
Recent videos.
Yeah. Like you could braid his eyebrow hair in that more recent video.
That is not. Maybe. It's almost like you can see. Like when was this?
Let's see. This was
fairly recently.
Cut off.
When?
Iran Wars. One day ago.
Yeah, this is the Iran War.
Okay. Well,
he went to the spa then.
I mean, he definitely got some.
I'll go back a little bit further. Maybe there's something.
This is so strange.
He could donate those eyebrows to like a chemo charity.
Honestly, locks of love. What's
there's a lot of people out there who need eyebrows, and he could provide like at least like maybe a half a dozen people with a.
This is 11 days ago. I mean, I had been noticing they looked a bit bushy, but not in the, like that's why I was taken aback earlier by the. The thing, because you know, those are some big brows.
Those are definitely bigger than they were before. He must have, he must have been plucking them like religiously at that time.
But and,
ICE probably deported the landscaper that was taking care of them.
No, I want the. Can we put the other one back up? I just want to look at them again. Because it's not like he's still plucking them, Sam. They're just not, he's just plucking them in the middle.
I wonder if it's possible that he actually.
Like they're still groomed, but there's no arch to them. Oh, wait, there's the arch. Oh! Whoa!
They're prehensile.
He's got to be doing this on purpose. It's got to be some type of like thing that he's doing.
It honestly seems like it's a filter or something. Like. Is there a filter? Does anybody know? Is there like an Instagram filter that makes your brows like look bushier?
Why would he use it though?
I wonder if
he thinks it looks good. So, I mean, why does anybody look use
yeah,
a filter?
I wonder if there's a certain amount of gender.
Gender
there's
affirming
some
care.
Type of, there's some
what
type
gender
of,
is that?
There could be some type of like something like.
Well, they
I wonder
all have
if
that
he's
beard now.
Something to grow his beard.
Yes.
I mean, that beard has been suspiciously having a tough time to come in.
Well, can I that beard.
That would be amazing.
Yes.
If he took medication to get his beard to come in. Like the gender. Gender. His eyebrows starting going crazy. Oh my God.
That's probably what it is. It's probably
it
like finasteride or something.
Well, because
like
the beard thing is a real trend. Remember, it was like, you know,
oh, yes.
My whole. Well, you're not going to be happy with what I'm saying. It's on the conservative side of things, but J.D. Vance growing that beard. He also
Matt
got
Walsh.
Stubble. Matt Walsh. I know someone who is Ted a conservative Cruz. And adjacent friend. We looks like almost like the beard from J.D. Vance. We mock him like, oh, now you're turning into J.D. Vance. I think it's a trend in the on the right is all I'm saying.
Well, none of those guys have chins either, which is part of it.
It's a manly. I think like there must be some manosphere thing about beards hiding your weak chin. Yes.
100%.
That's got it. But that's it. But it's a new thing. Because, I mean, when's the last time we had a president or vice president with a beard? I know your point. You have a beard. Yes. What?
No, I'm just highlighting my very strong chin. Yeah.
When's the last time we've had a president or vice president with a beard before J.D. Vance?
I would say probably the late 1800s.
Right? That's what I'm saying. It's a manosphere trend. It's got to be.
Beard. I think we had mustache in the 20s.
Benjamin Harrison was the last U.S. president to wear a full beard from 1889 to 1893.
There you go. There you go.
Thank you.
I mean, full beard.
Charge. All
right. Cleveland's got them.
We got to get to this other thing before we go because we're running out of...
Sure.
Okay. Where the heck? Here's the article. Okay. Let's see. Can I put this in? What? This is it? Wow. Oh my God. I'm going to send you this article, right now so that you can put this up on, what's the best way for me to send it to you? I'll text it to you.
And, that's probably the worst way.
That's probably the worst way.
Yeah.
Email it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can fix it in my answer.
Okay. I'm going to put it to I'm going on CNN. CNN, he's got a two-hour show.
Jake
Tapper does. And I've been aware of this story just because the Washington Post is trying to push it. And on Twitter, they're trying to push it because... you know, the United States is attacking Iran, and at least as stated by Mike Johnson and Marco Rubio up front, it was at the behest of the Israelis, or because the Israelis were sort of forcing us into it because they were going to attack first and whatnot. And so there's a lot of people who are upset about Israel. Now, what do you do if you're upset about Israel? Well, of course, you try and stir up some anti-Islam sentiments. Who is the favorite Muslim in the country to demonize at the moment for the right wing?
Who was also just subjected to a very serious bomb threat because of this very Islamophobic right wing push.
And is also like threatening to destroy all of the myths built around both Islam and socialism. The wildly popular, so far incredibly successful, maybe the most successful, I mean, just measured against his promised deliverables, mayor in my lifetime, Zohran Mamdani. Mm. And so they have busted a story wide open. This is the same person. What was she doing? What did she do that was, didn't she have some other story that was big?
She was like following Hassan around.
Right.
I don't know.
She did a really, really just amazing comedic parody.
There was water in a subway station.
Yeah, there was.
She was writing about that. Okay.
There was day four of the leak in this Times Square subway station.
Okay.
She said that kids in Gaza weren't dying because there were some children that had pre-existing conditions prior to being starved to death.
This is the reporter who discovered that many of the children or some of the children in Gaza who died had pre-existing conditions before their death.
She should be hired by United Healthcare.
Okay, so this is the story. In February, let's listen to her first and then we'll read the story.
Okay. Zohran Mamdani's wife, Rama Dawaji, liked a post calling October 7th a mass rape hoax. That was only one of more than 70 anti-Israel posts I found liked by Mamdani's wife. One post from October 9th, 2023, just 2 days after October 7th, characterized the terrorist attack as a defensive action against a, quote, system of oppression. Many of the posts traffic in anti-Semitic themes, including Holocaust inversion. One post,
can you pause it? I'm sorry. But Holocaust inversion, what that means is accurately talking about the tactics in the Holocaust and comparing them to the tactics being used by the Israelis.
It's nothing as a concentration camp except the death camps in World War II.
Refers to a controversial Israeli prison as a, quote, concentration camp.
It is one!
This is what the Post says. The concentration camp has a singular aim, to exterminate Palestinians and destroy their resistance. The mayor responded to a reporter's question on this yesterday, but that was before I uncovered 70-plus other posts for the Free Press.
You know, my wife is the love of my life, and she's also a private person who has held no formal position on my campaign or in my city hall.
It's no secret that Dewaji, who's an illustrator, is a supporter of the Palestinian cause. Much of her artistic portfolio revolves around the war in Gaza. What is new is the evidence suggesting her strong bias against Israel, which is depicted as evil, morally bankrupt, and genocidal in the post liked by Dewaji. As of today, the likes still remain up. Read my full story in the Free Press.
You know what? I didn't think it would be possible to like Zoran awesome. And his wife more, and I just love them more.
Great.
I think she delivered the all of it. We may not even have to read it. This was just more than I'm reading from the article now. More than 70 Instagram posts uncovered by the Free Press, in which the First Lady uncovered by the First Lady.
She had to get a shovel out.
Co-signed extreme positions against Israel. This is like the entire argument that supposedly people were making against Mamdani. I don't see what the issue is. But let's look at, if we're talking about wives, this is sort of like an inconvenient time for this. Can we pull up a story about Dan Goldman, who is a sitting congressman?
Yeah.
Who ostensibly, I mean, this is a guy who is running for re-election. And by the wife standard, we've got some real problems here.
Do you know where they met, by the way? Dan Goldman and his wife? You're not going to believe this. It's almost beyond parody. An AIPAC event.
Congressman faces questions about wife's social media stances on Israel. Oh, let's see what she said. Okay, Mr. Goldman, okay. Corinne Levy-Goldman, who serves as a husband campaign treasurer.
So actually,
oh, wait, so works on the campaign. Either liked or recirculated a series of social media posts from several right-wing accounts that used insensitive or hateful language directed at Palestinians or groups who supported them or criticized Israel. Most of the activity came in the weeks following October 7th. And she liked a post from End Wokeness that showed holding a Jews for Palestine sign with chickens for KFC. Oh, boy. Wow. So that's an attack on Jews, too. Jews who...
The wrong kind of Jews.
The wrong kind of Jews. Wow.
That's super anti-Semitic.
Roughly 10 of those posts were gathered by constituents who opposed Mr. Goldman and brought to his office attention in 2023. As mentioned at Mr. Goldman's town halls, how is this taking so long to make it to big news? This is shocking.
Stop the CNN presses.
This is shocking. This is shocking stuff. I mean, aside from the fact that, like, look, I obviously disagree with what Goldman's wife says.
Mm-hmm.
I'm offended as a Jew that the argument that my political philosophy or my perspective on just my opinion on the on what's going on means that I should be killed like a chicken by KFC. I take offense to that. And despite the fact that Goldman's wife is a campaign worker for him, like a paid campaign worker for him, which obviously if somebody's working for you, you're like, you know, it's a much different relationship. I don't hold against him what his wife did. I'm just shocked. Yeah. But somebody who's just married to somebody, like, honestly, I remember when people used to hold Greenspan's work against what's her face? Andrea Mitchell, right? And that was wrong. That was so wrong.
Yes. And honestly, I'm glad that you're going to be able to go on CNN and cover this, because I don't know if I can think of a more important story right now. Not Iran being poisoned by Israeli bombs.
The sky being on fire.
Yeah, let's do the Zoran's wife post.
Like posts that actually aren't bad.
Thing.
Unless you're a Zionist, then you treat them hysterically. But everybody else gets exactly why she liked those posts.
The lead on CNN.
How dare you call something a concentration camp?
I really think it's a problem if we start to hold people's wives or spouses as a, because God knows what's happening with, I mean, I don't want to be responsible for my, what now I got divorced. So I guess I'm not responsible for what my ex-wife does. Only when she was my wife on social media. But I really wonder is Olivia Rheingold married?
I'm going to say no, but I'll look it up.
I mean, we may need to look into this stuff. What about would Tapper's wife, like, could you, if Jake Tapper's wife posted something on social media, would that be fair to sort of like assess that? I don't think so, unless like she worked on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's more like Goldman.
Mm.
But I don't know. This is going to be an interesting segment. Now, I'm not going to be on with Olivia Rheingold. Apparently, now we're going.
Oh, that really?
She's going to be first,
she's
and then
busy.
I'm going to be second.
She's busy monitoring the puddle at Times Square.
Yeah.
Why is she so afraid of debate?
I don't know.
Free exchange of ideas.
Oh, all right. It's 2:42. We got to get going. Joe from New Orleans. I just can't get past what she's done to her lips on purpose. That was certainly a choice, a bad choice. I take back what I said about y'all caterpillar shaming that homunculus face earlier. The goose and the gander can both get the appearance related smoke. Yes, there you go.
Check out these faces in the fun house.
Exactly. This is what this show is about, folks. This is what we do. It is, we just mock like we're in junior high.
That is it.
Yeah. Everybody knows that.
What, are we supposed to take Ben Shapiro and Olivia Rheingold seriously?
Kowalski from Nebraska, the price of fertilizer is up 30%. Global food inflation, 5 to 10%, is inevitable. The amount of damage it's going to cause the Iranian food supply will be significant. Most of their agriculture is concentrated around the Caspian Sea, so this oil being infused in their food will likely lead to an increase in cancer level for years. This is definitely a crime against humanity.
Yeah.
Sam, do we need to hold Supreme Court justices accountable for what their wives or husbands do? That's a good point, too.
Vergonha.
Oh, my gosh.
You should work Vergonha into the hit tonight.
Yes, I got to work on that.
What time is it? People are asking.
I think it's at 5:45.
Okay. The people want to know.
So glad it's in the first hour. So important.
Interesting times. Did you see the House Republicans are having their policy retreat this week at Trump's Doral? It's got Jennings and Ben Shapiro will speak regarding Republican messaging and the speed of new media, respectively. Interesting. Chris Burdick. The eyebrows are Ben's way of auditioning for Andy Rooney's old slot in 60 Minutes, maybe. 1877, Cars for Kids. Whoa, is the majority report against seed oils?
Yes.
Onion breath. Reporting was that U.S. had said we will not attack oil infrastructure, and Israel did it against U.S. wishes. Oh, Israel. Spock.
I'll also just say I don't believe that the school was hit accidentally. I think and I don't trust America to investigate itself about that.
Spocko, there is still a nationwide shortage of ADHD drugs. They can make generic, but don't want to because the big drug companies don't want to make and don't make enough money. The generic drug companies should bribe Trump with all the Adderall he needs and a golden snorting straw. All right, four more. Number 13, how likely is it the Trump regime legit organizes a terrorist attack on U.S. soil to try and manufacture consent? I think that would be hard to pull off in the administration. But I think like when he said, like, you know, things can happen. Sometimes all you need to do is just like, I don't know, protract a Homeland Security shutdown, pull all the FBI agents off of Iran terror investigations.
Have them look at the fry cooks at your local Mexican restaurant.
Exactly. Have all the DHS people, all the ICE people, instead of like actually doing any type of real enforcement, go and see if they can arrest some moms dropping kids off at school. And then, you know, you see what happens.
Let the AIs try to entrap people into doing it.
Jonathan Armstead, can I make a guest suggestion? Dave Zirin has a book coming out in August called The People's Historian, The Outsized Life of Howard Zinn. Definitely.
Mm.
I love Dave. Jordy, PhD. You can put minoxidil on eyebrows and beards. So maybe it was a mistake. Maybe like he was trying to... What, honey? Ow, oh, God. Oh, no. I put it on one eyebrow, and he had to do the second just to balance it out.
I can't just put it on my beard because then my eyebrows won't look big enough. So he did it on both.
But I support the troops is etched into my memory forever. All right, two more. Dan from Columbus. Chuck Schumer taking a victory lap about funding Israel is like a quarterback bragging about getting sacked. Look at how many points I put on the board. And the final I am for the day. Incidentally, and that's not Kentucky Fried French Fries. Matt, Brian, Emma, great job today, folks. See you tomorrow.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the Mets are gonna kick in. And my pilot light shining bright.
Please.
They're actually doing first hour CNN on a story that no one has access to. It is fascinating. It's such a big story that virtually no one's read it. But I'll be on...
to talk about it.
Because... Oh, and what's the story? Is it the... Well, I mean, people can guess. People can guess right now. Let's have the story. Did I mention anything to hint to it?
Yeah,
you did. You mentioned Olivia.
Oh, and I said
and you
free
said
press.
The free press.
Oh, son of a bitch! I didn't set that up. Well, we could have done it like a whole survey thing and increased engagement, and I blew it.
That's all right.
People still don't know.
Which story it could be.
Yeah. My initial guess was that it was how much mud is covering New York City right now. I thought that would be so much mud.
The city is so dirty. Because there hasn't been let's not start with this. Let's do some other serious stuff and then we'll get to it. I mean, even on our 3-hour YouTube show, this is a low, like, this is like cleanup at the end of the day. I don't even know if we would have covered this.
No, absolutely not.
Well, the lead is with Jake Tapper.
All right. So Lindsey Graham, this has been like, he's been reborn. Literally, it's like he was on the brink of death and now he's back, day drinking again. Super excited about this bombing Iran. Somewhere John McCain is smiling down upon him. Thank you, young Jedi.
Yes.
You were able to accomplish my life's mission of bomb Iran.
All that blackmail that's been collected about Lindsay's extracurricular activities is finally paying off.
It's all paying off. Here is Lindsey Graham. Here he is. He's super excited about what's happening in Iran. And why stop there?
This regime goes down. We're going to have a new Mideast. We're going to make a ton of money. Nobody will threaten the Straits of Hormuz. And we're going to win. Israel and the United States, you just wait to see what comes in the next 2 weeks.
Pause it for 1 second. It's okay. So 2 weeks.
You just wait to see what comes.
Do you realize how, folks, how much money you're all going to have? Oh, I'm sorry. When he said we, he did not mean all of you. I'm sorry. I misspoke. We're going to get so rich from this.
He's on mornings with Maria. Yeah. Just checking.
He's been up all night. Yeah. He's
mornings.
He's
with
just
Maria.
Waits to see what comes.
Yeah. What comes in the next 2 weeks?
The next 2 weeks meaning what?
We're going to blow the hell out of these people. This regime is in a death throw now. It is going to be on its knees. It's going. If we get in a
That's
fight,
his favorite
I want to
phrase.
Win it. I want to win it quick. I'm okay. In Miami. You see this hat? Free Cuba. Stay tuned. Yeah. The liberation of Cuba is upon us. It's just a matter of time now. You see this hat? Make Iran great. President Trump said the only way to make Iran great is for the people to take over. We're marching through the world. We're cleaning out the bad guys. We're going to have relationships with new
people. We're going to have relationships with new people. We're going to blow them and
they'll be
on their knees. I'm just collect. Those were the three that
I'm putting into March 23rd. Lindsey Graham. Everything's going to change. And let's just make sure that we have this bookmark this this video because
it's gonna be richer.
It's gonna be 2 weeks and everything's gonna be fine. We're gonna be so much richer and everybody's gonna be wearing hats and oh my god.
Right. It's all the merch that's gonna happen.
Yes, and don't worry, he was talking about his Christian faith and they're in a war against us and what did he say that sort of like they'd consider me an infidel? Not sure exactly why.
He didn't explain why.
We're gonna be living in a world where, infidelism's gonna be okay, and my Christian brothers are gonna be okay with it. Here is Kevin Cramer for Lindsey Graham. We are going to have defeated Muslims, but also we're all going to get rich. And for Kevin Cramer, senator from North Dakota, here he is talking about why we got to do this.
Why are we at war with Iran? Pretty confusing.
You are?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, there are several good reasons for us to take out Iran's nuclear capabilities. First of all, because they're willing to use it.
There was an Iran nuclear deal signed.
Pause it for 1 second. Yeah, let's be clear. Iran.
Remember, he agreed to.
Yeah, hold on. Let's pause it. Iran has no nuclear capabilities.
Yeah.
We can't get rid of Iran's nuclear capabilities because they don't have any. Now, what we could do theoretically is get rid of their ability to enrich uranium. Which they use for commercial purposes, and all the agencies that study this say that's what they've been doing. Although since the last deal was scuttled, they have begun to try and compile enriched uranium because unfortunately for them, they didn't get a bomb in time to stop Trump from bombing. But I just wanted to stop it there. Let's go back a little bit, and he's going to explain. Well, one is stop them from getting nukes. He doesn't care about the deal.
There was an Iran nuclear deal signed in 2015.
Yeah, thank God we got out of that. Yeah. Remember, he agreed to a deal that allowed Iran to have a nuclear weapon.
No, they didn't.
Thank God we intervened in that. And they were on their way to doing it.
No, they weren't.
They were licensed to have, to enrich to a level that would allow a nuclear weapon.
No!
Insane.
The U.S. Republicans kept saying, they almost have a nuclear weapon. They almost have a nuclear weapon. It's not true. They don't have a nuclear weapon. And I have one question.
Goodness they don't. And
does
that's
Israel
a good
have
idea
nuclear weapons?
Listen, the United States and Israel are ironclad partners. We need them in the Middle East. We need them to be strong. We have a biblical responsibility to them as well as an allied responsibility to Israel. We should never sever that relationship, particularly to the benefit of killers like Iran.
Is that your office?
I'm sorry, wait. We have a biblical responsibility to Israel?
What?
Incidentally, this is a U.S. senator, not a high cleric of the Christian church, or I don't know. I don't even think a chief rabbi would argue that we have a biblical responsibility. Some of them might.
But all they know is violence in Iran and in the Middle East, and those Arabs and those Muslims and those Persians. All they know is violence because they are religious fundamentalists. And as Sam Harris would say, Islam is the motherlode of bad ideas. It makes them uniquely more violent, the fact that they're motivated by religion. Well, okay. That sounds like us. But I just want to the enrich. He's just so, the lie about the JCPOA is so insane. Do you know that under that it was less than 4% their maximum or enrichment levels? That's what Iran was restricted to, and there would be a third party that would go in and monitor it. You would need, for highly enriched uranium for nuclear weapons, it has to be over 90%. So there was independent verification. This is part of the deal Obama struck. This is going in there and looking at that level of enrichment. And it's nowhere even close to the place where they would need to be to make a nuclear weapon.
I think we also should not just blow past the biblical responsibility thing.
Probably not.
Because I think it's easy to sort of say, like, oh, what a nut job. And you'd be accurate. But I wonder, like, I wish they had said, like, can you outline what that biblical responsibility is? How do we have a biblical responsibility, did he say, to Israel or to bomb Iran? But either
Israel
one.
Israel was the implication.
To maintain that ally.
What is the, I mean, he's obviously talking as a Christian. Yeah. He's Christian. The Christians have a biblical responsibility to do what for Israel? Why?
What's the end game here?
I think you don't even need to say game. Yeah. I think the end.
That's the end times. Yeah.
This guy, within I don't know how many minutes, when pressed as to why we're doing this, says it is because we need to bring about the end times. That's what he's saying. That's what biblical responsibility means. We need to set it up so that the third coming, or second coming. Sorry, I got confused. When Tatum showed up, I got confused. The second coming of Christ shows up. We have a responsibility to make sure that all the Jews get back to Israel so that Jesus returns. What part of that don't you understand, constituent?
Read the Bible, okay?
This is in terms of like political constituencies in this country that drive foreign policy, the evangelical Christian Zionist right is one of the most powerful political constituencies in the country. And you know, when all the issues that we worry about, like, say, climate change and the climate catastrophe, for example, what these Christian evangelical fundamentalist Zionists see is actually that's evidence of the fact that the rapture and the end times are coming. So all of the stuff about, like, making the planet hospitable for people on Earth, or, say, like, creating an economic system that doesn't immiserate people, providing social services for folks that are here on Earth— they are uninterested in actually engaging with that because they're so focused on the heavenly afterlife. And anything that goes negatively around the world in this time period is actually something that they welcome. The what they're seeing in the Middle East with Iran in clouds of smoke, this looks like biblical prophecy to them. This looks like it's finally happening. And him outright saying it is evidence of that. Can we just quickly play this from Friday? This is like what, Trump, the anti-war guy, neocon Don.
Wait, was this from Friday?
Yes, yes, yes. This is what, this is, there is like this deeply racist portrayal of people in the Middle East as jihadist fundamentalists who are all unable to kind of deal with
the modern world,
this Orientalism. This is what's happening in our government.
We are honored to come before your presence today
lifting up the arms of our president.
Please don't.
We pray for your continued blessing and favor to rest upon him. We pray for wisdom from heaven to flood his heart, his mind, and Lord, you will guide him in these challenging times that we're facing today. I pray for your grace and your protection over him. I pray for your grace and protection over our troops and all of our men and women serving in our armed forces. And Father, we just pray you'll continue to give our president the strength that he needs to lead our great nation as we come back to one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We pray your heavenly blessing upon him in Jesus' name.
And I was thinking about this a little because that actor Shia LaBeouf, this is a bit of a tangent, but he's one of the recent converts to Catholicism, and he's had some issues with, you know, abusing women and stuff like that. We also know Russell Brand is a convert to Catholicism who's also being charged with rape, right, in the UK and other offenses. You know, Trump speaking a lot about his death and how he doesn't think he's going to get into heaven might make him a little bit more susceptible to arguments from evangelical fundamentalist leaders around him saying that he's bringing about the third or the second coming of Jesus. I'm not saying that he might believe that, but he is probably susceptible to them saying you're a godly man and here are the ways that you can fulfill your like great leadership promise here on earth, given his also dementia addled mind.
I think he thinks he's Jesus, and I think he's always thought that he's Jesus, just a little bit better. A little bit better. He's good, I'm good. But look, this is not new. This is not a Trump phenomenon.
No.
This is not like, you know, I can point to a book written over 20 years ago that is now available for only $4.51 on eBay. And that is, there it is, FUBAR.
FUBAR.
Written by myself and Stephen Sherrill, available in not even book bins anymore. You have to go to eBay to find this, where we talked about the Christian right being the dominant player in the Republican Party. And that this stuff is all been, again, it was sort of submerged more over in the teens. We didn't hear about it as much. And only after Donald Trump picked the greatest theocrat this country has known, being Mike Pence, so they could prove to these lunatics that he was one of them. But Donald Trump won evangelicals by 83%. If you take away white evangelicals from his win, which of course you can't. That's the nature of the country. Everybody votes. But if you did, you would find that he won no other group.
Yep.
No other group. Non-insane white people, he did not win. He did not win black people. He did not win brown people. He did not win men or women. Non-evangelical. Evangelical whites, he won by such a massive margin. And regardless of what is motivating him, it is sort of like the inverse of what Clara Mattai was explaining to us. We need to organize on the ground so that any politicians who we give our support to, we can hold accountable and force into certain decisions. That's what they're doing. They're already organized by this one sort of central concept of, I'm an evangelical Christian, and I'm just waiting for whatever my pastor tells me that means this week.
Yeah, and when we talk about political constituencies having an impact over the politicians in office, that's part of why we were arguing that Kamala Harris would be a better choice for to vote for in 2024 over Trump, because that is who his political constituency is, regardless of their, you know, what's in their heart about Israel and Palestine. We know that the far right evangelical Christian Zionist coalition that Trump has to be responsive to is the most extreme driver of Israel's genocide, perhaps in the country, at least from a numbers perspective of the amount of people, Christian evangelicals, who support this from as voters.
And understand, like, you know, they are a huge, huge driver of the anti-Islam sentiment. It is coming from these people. Stinky Boy 420. Hey, I just got brain surgery a week ago. Can I get a shofar? Got to say it was a good week to be mostly sedated, but I'm a lot more aware at this point, and I got to say it sucks. Take me back to the hospital.
Glad you're doing all right.
This also feels like a throwback, since we just plugged FUBAR, which I should say I'm not receiving royalties from anymore. In fact, that from stopped the moment that the book was released. I stopped receiving royalties. Be that as it may, there was another throwback moment this week, and it came from Jake Tapper.
Huh.
And Jake Tapper finds out that there is, and listen, I this is not to celebrate a politician, but it is hard for many of you, the vast majority of this show, people who listen and watch this show, the vast majority are younger than I am. Something like 75% of our audience is between the ages of like 24 and 44 or something like that.
Hell yeah.
And I'm telling you, you were five, or maybe you were like early 20s during the Iraq War. Your early 20s probably paid a little more attention to this stuff. But what Jake Tapper is about to say to Chris Murphy, and he's not just like, this is not a hypothetical. He's trying to introduce the notion to see if Murphy is susceptible to this. This was the overwhelming response about anything that had to do with not with trying to end the Iraq War for years. Here is Jake Tapper trying out one of the oldies.
The administration is reportedly weighing Congress to approve an additional $50 billion in funding for these operations. You have said you're a hell no, not just a no, on funding the war. We have seen this movie before. We know that vote will be cast as, especially if you run for higher office, you voting against the troops.
Oh, come on. I mean, the American people don't want this war. They don't want this war. They have seen what happens when American troops go into places like Iraq, places like Afghanistan. Ultimately, we get a lot of people killed. We waste a lot of dollars. The one thing the American people are clear about is that they do not want the United States dragged into another long-term war in the Middle East. If you support the troops, then you should be voting against funding this war so that we get our troops out of harm's way. Virtually nothing good happened from sending thousands of Americans to die inside Iraq in the 2000s. And if we don't learn that lesson, then shame on every single one of us.
So
I will tell you, what him saying, if you support the troops, then you cut funding. The only people who would say that on cable television, I can tell you who they were. There was about five of us, to the extent that we could get on cable television and say that. The idea of a sitting U.S. senator saying those words, I think Mike Ravel had come back at one point. He may have said that. But the idea of someone who is running for president in 3 years,
mm-hmm.
2 years, saying those words is huge. Or at least it's a huge, I mean, this is not to give him credit, because it seems like a fairly slam dunk, you know, sort of almost like middle of the road response. But it is a huge sign of just how unpopular this action is, and how anyone with like any semblance of sanity realizes this is a huge mistake. The Iraq War never during its existence got as unpopular as this war is now at its beginning.
Yeah. And you see Trump's flippant quotes about, is this going to incentivize an Iranian terrorist attack on U.S. soil? And he goes, I guess. I mean, they actively do not care about American lives, and they're saying it openly. Hegseth saying, well, cost of war, if some more Americans die, we now know 7 Americans have died. Here it is. Oh, this is a different one.
This is about the oil.
Okay,
prices.
Well, then, but I did, then I, just to then go back to just the premise of Jake Tapper's question there, it is amazing how they believe that they are objective news sources, but he's so emotional in the way that the question is framed, trying to push. Can we just play the question for a second?
I will say I think he was.
Well,
go ahead.
You might not know what I'm going to say. So can we just play the first part of the question?
The administration is reportedly weighing Congress to approve an additional $50 billion in funding for these operations. You have said you're a hell no, not just a no on funding the war. We have seen this movie before. We know that so vote will be cast as, especially if you run for higher office, you voting against the troops.
Well, okay, so we'll Come be on. Cast as.
The American people.
That is not true. I mean, he's saying that from that context, but you're giving at that time, the Iraq War was, because of after 9/11, there was such an effort to manufacture consent, it was fairly popular. But with this, you're not supporting the troops. Like, it's almost like he's trying to will it into existence.
He's definitely denying any role of the media or the fact that it's not going to be cast as if it's, falling off of a coconut tree. It's going to be cast if people like him decide to cast it that way.
I guess. I guess that's true. That's true. But my point is just that, like, there is right now, I think, some members of the press, Tapper, other Dana Bash, whatever, people on CNN who are from an old class in the media that are trying to represent the interests of Zionists or the military industrial complex in the face of facts that are staring right in front of them. And they are ignoring obvious polling and obvious facts about this to create a reality out of whole cloth that doesn't exist anymore. And I think you have to have some sort of awareness about that, even if you're as, like, brainwashed as a lot of members of the media class is. Go on.
Well, the way that he's doing it, though, this is the trick that people have to watch and see. He is making it as if this is an inevitability, that it's going to be cast this way. Now, I think it would be accurate for him to say, like, we've seen this movie before.
Right.
Which, suggests on some level, like, it's going to be a repeat. It's going to be cast this way. But who's casting it? Like, it is incumbent upon him in this question to say Republicans are going to attempt to cast it this way. But he doesn't want to sort of like say that this is a Republican thing, because he very well may be the one of the people who are casting it this way. Because they certainly were 20 years ago, but right now he doesn't want to commit to that.
But that's also why, because there isn't even that political constituency among the Republicans that might say that.
Isn't there, though?
I don't think so.
The Republican
leadership, yes. That you wouldn't be supporting the troops, but the even Republican voters aren't
of
Iran.
We're talking about politicians.
Or, yeah.
Republican, voters. He doesn't care about the voters. He's talking about, like, this is going to come from the Republican leadership. That's what it is. 100% guaranteed. And the question is, he's already signaling that I won't necessarily be skeptical of that claim. Because if I was, I would do what we do all the time. Democrats say that there's going to be $40 million worth, or 40, 4 million people cut from Medicaid. Well, 4 million people are going to get cut from Medicaid. Well, Democrats say that. He didn't say Republicans are going to say. He didn't say that your political opponents are going to say. He just made it as like.
But he's creating distance from his own kind of political ideology
exactly,
about it. Right,
exactly,
right,
exactly.
Right. I just think it's interesting that I've never seen this kind of effort from mainstream reporters like this be so disconnected from any, like, natural political constituency that would back them there.
Well, Emma, there is a natural constituency that would back them.
Okay.
And you should be aware, there's a family on Long Island named the Baileys.
Oh, yes.
And they live in a ranch house that is located in Chuck Schumer's brain. And in Chuck Schumer's brain, they send up, they basically send messages to Chuck Schumer through fiber. They have fiber now out
there.
Oh, wow. Yes.
And social media.
They send a message and they say, Chuck, we want funding for this war. I know it's going to be difficult for you, but let's make it happen, please. Because don't forget what your job is. Or forget what your job is, but don't forget what you're supposed to do. And so he went out there and forgot what his job was, but remembered what he's supposed to do.
But I have many jobs as majority leader, as the first Jewish majority leader ever. And one is to fight for aid to Israel, all the aid that Israel needs. I will continue to fight for it. And we delivered more security assistance to Israel, our ally, under my leadership than ever, ever before. We will keep doing that, everybody. It is so important.
Wow, people
I
are
will
even,
always fight.
People are even
to give
a
Israel
little bit at the
needs,
Jewish Community Relations Council. It doesn't even seem as exciting. Okay. I have got some very bad news for Chuck Schumer. You are not Senate Majority Leader. You are Senate Minority Leader. So, okay, I forgot my job. But I remember what I'm supposed to do.
But is he in the minority, really?
Well, I'm not leading the majority, but I'm part of it, at least in regards to what I want to fund the war. And here's the best thing. No side deals this time. We're going to really hand it to Iran because that's what we want to do, right?
Chuck, do you think that it's a good thing in the face of rising anti-Semitism?
Mr. Majority Leader, to you, young lady.
Mr. Majority Leader, do you think it's a good thing in the face of rising anti-Semitism to have you as a, I would say, pretty religious zealot about, or I would say Zionist zealot, out front conflating Judaism with Zionism as Zionism is responsible for genocide and now, more broadly, a disastrous war in the Middle East?
They're going to sound tough in public.
I didn't hear what you... What was it? Say it again.
Do you think it's helpful to have you screaming from the rooftops?
I don't scream from the rooftops. I use the social media. And through my Tiki-Talki account, which you can go and see, I've got to get a good handle for it. No side deals. That's underscore. No side underscore deals on TikTok. So check it out.
This is no longer about Chuck Schumer. It's about every other senator. Liz Boren, it's time.
Yep.
This, leaking into this Fight Club stuff, I'm sorry, it's embarrassing now. Chris Van Hollen, go into J Street to talk about how Apex bad. Not enough. You're not doing nearly enough. This whole thing that happened in the 2 years ago with Joe Biden being not fit for another term and the Democrats acting like, oh, yeah, we had to learn a lesson about that and how we all had a conspiracy to deny that reality that everyone could see. Everyone sees this reality now, too. This is actually even more apparent and more urgent than having old people in the office is how we're corrupted by a Jim Crow like basically the Southern Democrats. But this is the one that we can't even talk about. No one wants to address this. Address it now. Kick Schumer, kick Jeffries out.
We need to, they need to take this fight public. We said this, I think, on Thursday.
Absolutely.
Last week. It leaks to the New York Times are not enough. I really do think that it's incumbent upon the entire caucus at this point, for the sake of our democracy, to stand up and say that this person cannot be the face of the Democratic Party going forward.
Where are all the popularists out there now urging? Where are the Ezra Kleins and the David Shores and all the Iglesias urging? This is a classic, like, 80-20 type of...
Exactly. And a motivating 80-20 issue. It's not like gun control where that's 90% on the Democrat side or whatever for universal background checks. But we know that doesn't motivate people to go to the polls unless you're a gun zealot, but you're voting for Republicans anyway. The Israel issue is a motivating issue for voters to vote against genocide, to vote against people who take AIPAC funding, because it's a stand-in for the people that are prioritizing, say, militarism or corruption or what have you, or religious zealotry over your everyday needs. People are going out and voting. If you see an AIPAC tag on people, they're getting voted out, or at the very least, they're making these races really close, especially also when you look at the fact that the Israel-aligned candidates have a lot more money.
Yeah, I mean, this is a slam dunk. And to the extent that there's like, I'm actually convinced that once it becomes apparent, if it becomes apparent, and like I say, I think there is a 25-35% chance, maybe more, that Trump will just say, like, we won, so we can go now. But in the event that this goes longer than 2 or 3 weeks, I think we're going to see people who have been, like, just disbelieving that this could actually be happening. You're going to start to see even greater numbers of people opposing it simply because they're beginning to realize, like, it's real. Because I, even in myself, I feel like there's just no way he's going to do this. This is so dumb. And but I think there's going to be increasing. This is like for the Democrats, from just strictly as a political sense, put aside the obvious, I think, sort of strategic and tactical failures that are associated with this. I mean, even the military, we're going to start getting more and more leaks about how the military is like, we're not into this. Putting that aside, as strictly a political matter, we know wars don't get more popular going forward.
That's the problem, though. They're not tethered right now. Like, that's the scary thing. Isn't that what I'm saying.
They're not tethered. All the populists who are like, you need to be back, they're not there.
But they're not tethered to that. They are not tethered, unfortunately, to public opinion. They think they can manipulate around it with the money and the donations that they're getting, and it's more ideological.
80-20 matters when you can do a reactionary thing like attack trans people.
Yeah, and I mean, so we just got this IM. Goliath, what do you mean when you say Zionism is responsible for genocide? Are you saying American Jews who believe in the existence of Israel are responsible for genocide? So I actually think that's a good IM to illustrate exactly why this is such political malpractice. And oh, my God, Ben Shapiro's eyebrows.
You need to take this down. It is too distracting.
In the middle of trying to make a substantive point here. But it is absolutely insane. Okay. No. When we were just playing that clip of the senator from North Dakota and all of those religious leaders who are evangelical leaders praying around Donald Trump, what Chuck Schumer and the Democrats, what they've engaged in since their complicity in Joe Biden's genocide when it started in 2023 and Israel's genocide, was participating in that conflation. Because if we were actually talking about Zionism in reality and speaking about it as to what it is, which is a nationalist religious ideology that is tied up in colonialism and conquest, then there would be less confusion. But the Democrats have participated and liberal Zionists have participated in that conflation, which has led to the rise of anti-Semitism. So, no, I do not blame all Jews for the genocide, but I do blame both Christian and Jewish Zionists and that ideology, unless there has been some sort of a change of heart since the act of genocide began for it.
But specifically in terms of the way that question was asked, we know you don't have to be Jewish to be Zionist.
Yeah.
We know. I mean, Joe Biden has told us this, and all the Christian Zionists out there, there are probably in this country more Christian Zionists than Jewish Zionists.
Yep.
Which means that this is not a Jewish question. And so when you phrase it as a Jew, you might as well say, it's like, are you saying, as a guy from Worcester who believes that Israel should exist as a ethno-religious state, are you saying that all people from Worcester are bad?
Right. Right.
It is the case that for many of us who were raised Jewish, that a deep emotional connection to Israel was ingrained in us. It certainly was. When I was there as a confirmation student for a couple of months over the summer, I don't think we had birthright tours then. I don't think that's what they called it then. I certainly remember like referring to Israel. When Israel was attacking Lebanon, I remember saying to the rabbi, oh, I thought we don't do that. I mean, I would have said we at that time. And despite the fact that I found most Israeli people that I dealt with being very off-putting, and they themselves did not see a we per se, except for how really oddly, I just remember this. We met with a bunch of high school students, and we were sitting around like, how are our identities connected? And really, like, the main thing was our enemies wouldn't make a distinction between us, which gives you a sense of, like, you know, when that identity comes out of that victimhood, things can go sideways very quickly. But so, again, you know, that's just really to sort of piggyback on Emma's point about that conflation. It's irrelevant. Your Judaism is irrelevant to your Zionism. It is irrelevant. It may have been what first led you to it, but you can see where that project has led.
Yeah, I mean, we get a follow-up here. Goliath, you don't have to be Zionist to be Jewish, agree. The quote was, Zionism is responsible for genocide. Many Jews are Zionists, so Emma is talking
this
about
is the,
those
that is the
Jews.
Dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It really That's, is.
Do you hate people? Because all of those Zionists,
yeah,
not many,
right.
All of them are people.
So
do you hate people?
It's just identifying it as a specific kind of nationalism. It's like saying
it's like saying
conservatism is responsible for X. I'm not blaming every individual conservative for every action that the conservative governments have taken, but it's
so
baby brain.
But it's so stupid because many Jews are Zionists. So Emma is talking about those Jews. She's not just talking about those Jews. She's talking about the former president of the United States, who's not a Jew. She's talking about those Christian Zionists who just said on a clip, we have a biblical responsibility to do this. I'm sorry. You're trying to make something in a different way than it is, and it's not that way. And and what you're doing is specific because you cannot defend Zionism. That's the problem you have. You cannot defend the ideology of Zionism without tying it to some subsect of people who share that ideology. You need to defend the idea. You need to defend the idea that there can be no democracy in Israel, that it must be an exclusionary project. You need to defend that it leads to expansion and taking of other people's land and liberty and life. That's what you need to defend. Defend that. Don't defer to the fact that some people who believe in this ideology are Jews. That's absurd. That's like, there are some Jews who are conservatives. Does that mean that I hate Jews who are conservatives? That I hate Jews because there are Jews who believe in conservatism? There are Jews who believe in we should cut taxes? So if I'm against people who believe that we should cut taxes for rich people, I'm against Jews because some Jews believe that. I mean, you understand that you need to defer to that because you cannot defend the ideology.
Yep.
And I'll tell you something. When you talk about anti-Semitism, what you're doing is putting Jewish lives in danger because you're saying it's inherent in the Jew to support these policies that lead to apartheid. It's inherent in the Jew, you're saying. You're saying it's inherent in the Jew to support policies that lead to apartheid. It's inherent in the Jew to be expansionist and kill unarmed civilians. That's what you're saying.
Yep.
And I resent it. And it endangers me and my family, and I don't appreciate it. So get the F out of here with that.
Yeah. Grow up would be the other way.
Speaking of which,
somebody hit puberty.
Oh yes. Speaking of which, as from time to time we cheer. No. Let's start with something in the past.
Okay.
So that we can see the evolution.
Okay.
Some people, I feel like I coined the phrase, Ben Shapiro is the Pope of the Jews. And here's the thing that I don't think I understood when I said that. I said he's the Pope of the Jews because he proclaims who's a good Jew and who's a bad Jew. And he said that Bernie Sanders is a bad Jew because of whatever and this and that. And if you're Jewish, you know that there's no such thing as a pope. And then, in fact, there's not even like there's a head rabbi for different sects of Judaism. But to be a Jew is actually not to have a central authority that tells you what is a good or a bad Jew. Different sects will sometimes rise up in narrow circumstances to be able to, like, you know, in Israel. But they're doing that through a political process, not through a theological process to define who is a Jew. Even matrilineal Judaism was something that changed it originally, of course, was patrilineal, because the first Jew was a guy named Abe who decided that, like, all the idols were bad. So there is no sort of like a person who is an edict. But what I did not realize when I coined the phrase Pope of the Jew, popes are considered almost like a quasi-deity.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not realize that's what I was conferring upon Ben Shapiro, because we're starting to see evidence of it. This guy has the capacity to transform. Here is Ben Shapiro. Just like, when was this? Like
March 2024.
Okay, this a year ago.
This is a
2 years ago.
2 years ago. And look at him. We can play a little.
This is who we recognize.
I don't even know what he's talking about in this video.
Yeah, we don't even know.
This is him coming to support Trump after having endorsed DeSantis.
As most of you know, I'm voting for Donald Trump in November. I've said so many, many times at this point, but I'm not just voting for Donald
Trump.
Okay,
pause it for a second. Right there. That's a good shot. Look at this man. He is in human form.
Mm-hmm.
But within two small years, he has been able to transform into something greater than human form. He has brow maxed into something even more amazing. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Look at that. Look at that. He has...
Oh, my God.
He has doubled... No,
it's eyebrow tripled. Raising.
No. He has quadrupled the size of his, not the length of his
eyebrows,
the width. Like, I didn't know that eyebrows could actually grow that way. He is the Pope.
Has anyone ever done a hair transplant for their eyebrows?
I think my guess is in about 2 weeks or 3 weeks, there will be butterflies coming off the front of his face.
I mean, honestly, they look like they're like curtains in front of his eyes. And then at night, they just scan down like and go and then he can go to sleep. Because
is this a camera,
it's an eye mask.
Is this a camera problem? Can we get a shot on with him on this show, like a current one, to do apples to apples? Because this is not possible. It's not possible. I've seen people who like. The amount of eyebrow, what is it called? Shaving? Like
right.
That threading? He would have had to.
Threading?
What is it when you.
Plucking? Like,
plucking or whatever.
Plucking or threading or to.
To make it
shaping.
That thin yeah. back then. Because that's the only answer, right?
Right.
Is that he must have gone through a period of like.
Oh, yeah. He must have been. But that doesn't
but
even look
still
humanly possible. I've never seen anyone with eyebrows like this in terms of just the. Look. The thickness.
Is this recent?
It's also
yeah,
the
this
length
is one
of
more
them.
Recent videos.
Yeah. Like you could braid his eyebrow hair in that more recent video.
That is not. Maybe. It's almost like you can see. Like when was this?
Let's see. This was
fairly recently.
Cut off.
When?
Iran wars. One day ago.
Yeah, this is the Iran war.
Okay. Well,
he went to the spa then.
I mean, he definitely got some.
I'll go back a little bit further. Maybe there's something.
This is so strange.
He could donate those eyebrows to like a chemo charity.
Honestly, locks of love. What's
there's a lot of people out there who need eyebrows, and he could provide like at least like maybe a half a dozen people with a.
This is 11 days ago. I mean, I had been noticing they looked a bit bushy, but not in the, like, that's why I was taken aback earlier by the the thing. Because, you know, those are some big brows.
Those are definitely bigger than they were before. He must have... He must have been plucking them, like, religiously at that time.
But and,
ICE probably deported the landscaper that was taking care of him.
No, I want the... Can we put the other one back up? I just want to look at them again. Because it's not... Like, he's still plucking them, Sam. They're just not... He's just plucking them in the middle.
I wonder if it's possible that he actually...
Like they're still groomed, but there's no arch to them. Oh, wait, there's the arch. Oh! Whoa!
They're prehensile.
He's got to be doing this on purpose. It's got to be some type of, like... thing that he's doing.
It honestly seems like it's a filter or something. Like, is there a filter? Does anybody know, is there like an Instagram filter that makes your brows like look bushier?
Why would he use it though?
I wonder
if he thinks it looks good. I mean, why does anybody use a filter?
I wonder if there's a certain amount of gender there could be some type of like something like,
well, they all have that beard now.
Something to grow his beard.
Yes.
I mean, that beard has been suspiciously having a tough time to come in.
Well, can I that beard?
That would be amazing.
Yes.
If he took medication to get his beard to come in. Like the gender. His eyebrows starting going crazy. Oh my god.
That's probably what it is. It's probably like finasteride or something.
Well, because the beard thing is a real trend. Remember, it was like, you know, my whole well, you're not going to be happy with what I'm saying. It's on the conservative side of things, but J.D. Vance growing that beard. He also got stubble. Matt Walsh. I know someone who is a conservative and adjacent friend. Looks like almost like the beard from J.D. Vance. We mock him like, oh, now you're turning into J.D. Vance. I think it's a trend on the right is all I'm saying.
Well, none of those guys have chins either, which is part of it.
It's a manly. I think like there must be some manosphere thing about beards hiding your weak chin. Yes.
100%.
That's got it. But it's a new thing. Because, I mean, when's the last time we had a president or vice president with a beard? I know you're pointing out you have a beard. Yes. What?
No, I'm just highlighting my very strong chin. Yeah.
When's the last time we've had a president or vice president with a beard before J.D. Vance?
I would say probably the late 1800s.
Right? That's what I'm saying. It's a manosphere trend. It's got to be.
Beard. I think we had mustache in the 20s.
Benjamin Harrison was the last U.S. president to wear a full beard from 1889 to 1893.
There you go. There you go.
Thank you.
I mean, full beard.
Charge. All
right. Cleveland's got them.
We got to get to this other thing before we go because we're running out of...
Sure.
Okay. Where the heck? Here's the article. Okay. Let's see. Can I put this in? What? This is it? Wow. Oh my God. I'm going to send you this article, right now so that you can put this up on, what's the best way for me to send it to you? I'll text it to you. That's probably the worst way.
Yeah.
Email it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can fix it in my
head. Okay. I'm going to put it to... I'm going on CNN. CNN, he's got a two-hour show.
Jake Tapper
does. And I've been aware of this story just because the Washington Post is trying to push it. And on Twitter, they're trying to push it because... you know, the United States is attacking Iran, and at least as stated by Mike Johnson and Marco Rubio up front, it was at the behest of the Israelis, or because the Israelis were sort of forcing us into it because they were going to attack first and whatnot. And so there's a lot of people who are upset about Israel. Now, what do you do if you're upset about Israel? Well, of course, you try and stir up some anti-Islam sentiments who is the favorite Muslim in the country to demonize at the moment for the right wing?
Who was also just subjected to a very serious bomb threat for the because of this very Islamophobic right wing push.
And is also like threatening to destroy all of the myths built around both Islam and socialism. The wildly popular, so far incredibly successful, maybe the most successful, I mean, just measured against his promised deliverables, mayor in my lifetime, Zohran Mamdani. Mm. And so they have busted a story wide open. This is the same person. What was she doing? What did she do that was didn't she have some other story that was big?
She was like following Hassan around.
Right. She did a really, really just amazing comedic parody.
There was water in a subway station.
Yeah, there was.
She was writing about that.
There was day four of the leak in this Times Square subway station.
Okay.
She said that the kids in Gaza weren't dying because there were some children that were had pre-existing conditions prior to being starved to death.
This is the reporter who discovered that many of the children or some of the children in Gaza who died had pre-existing conditions before their death.
She should be hired by United Healthcare.
Okay, so this is the story. In February, okay, well, let's listen to her first, and then we'll read the story.
Okay. Zohran Mamdani's wife, Rama Dewaji, liked a post calling October 7th a mass rape hoax. That was only one of more than 70 anti-Israel posts I found liked by Mamdani's wife. One post from October 9th, 2023, just 2 days after October 7th, characterized the terrorist attack as a defensive action against a, quote, system of oppression. Many of the posts traffic in anti-Semitic themes, including Holocaust inversion. One post
can you
liked
pause
by
it?
Dewaji
I'm sorry. But Holocaust inversion, what that means is accurately talking about the tactics in the Holocaust and comparing them to the tactics being used by the Israelis.
It's
in
nothing
Gaza.
As a concentration camp except the death camps in World War II.
Refers to a controversial Israeli prison as a, quote, concentration camp.
It is one!
This is what the Post says. The concentration camp has a singular aim, to exterminate Palestinians and destroy their resistance. The mayor responded to a reporter's question on this yesterday, but that was before I uncovered 70-plus other posts for the Free Press.
You know, my wife is the love of my life, and she's also a private person who has held no formal position on my campaign or in my city hall.
It's no secret that Dewaji, who's an illustrator, is a supporter of the Palestinian cause. Much of her artistic portfolio revolves around the war in Gaza. What is new is the evidence suggesting her strong bias against Israel, which is depicted as evil, morally bankrupt, and genocidal in the post liked by Dewaji. As of today, the likes still remain up. Read my full story in the Free Press.
You know what? I didn't think it would be possible to like Zohran
awesome.
And his wife more, and I just love them more.
Great.
I think she delivered the all of it. We may not even have to read it. This was just more than I'm reading from the article now. A more than 70 Instagram posts uncovered by the Free Press, in which the First Lady uncovered by the First Lady.
She had to get a shovel out.
Co-signed extreme positions against Israel. This is like the entire argument that supposedly people were making against Mamdani. I don't see what the issue is. But let's look at if we're talking about wives, this is sort of like an inconvenient time for this. Can we pull up a story about Dan Goldman, who is a sitting congressman?
Yeah.
Who ostensibly, I mean, this is a guy who is running for re-election. And by the wife's standard, we've got some real problems here.
Do you know where they met, by the way? Dan Goldman and his wife? You're not going to believe this. It's almost beyond parody. An AIPAC event.
Congressman faces questions about wife's social media stances on Israel. Oh, let's see what you said. Okay, Mr. Goldman, okay. Corinne Levy Goldman, who serves as a husband campaign treasurer.
So actually
oh, wait, so works on the campaign. Either liked or recirculated a series of social media posts from several right-wing accounts. that used insensitive or hateful language directed at Palestinians or groups who supported them or criticized Israel. Most of the activity came in the weeks following October 7th. And she liked a post from End Wokeness that showed holding a Jews for Palestine sign with chickens for KFC. Oh, boy. Wow. So that's an attack on Jews, too. Jews who...
The wrong kind of Jews.
The wrong kind of Jews. Wow. Roughly 10 of those posts were gathered by constituents who opposed Mrs. Goldman and brought to his office attention in 2023. As mentioned at Mr. Goldman's town halls, how is this taking so long to make it to big news? This is shocking.
Stop the CNN presses.
This is shocking. This is shocking stuff. I mean, aside from the fact that, like, look, I obviously disagree with what Goldman's wife says. Mm-hmm. I'm offended as a Jew that the argument that my political philosophy or my perspective on just my opinion on the on what's going on means that I should be killed like a chicken by KFC. I take offense to that. And despite the fact that Goldman's wife is a campaign worker for him, like a paid campaign worker for him, which obviously if somebody's working for you, you're like, you know, it's a much different relationship. I don't hold against him what his wife did. I'm just shocked. Yeah. But somebody who's just married to somebody, like, honestly, I remember when people used to hold Greenspan's work against, what's her face? Andrea Mitchell, right? And that was wrong. That was so wrong.
Yes. And honestly, I'm glad that you're going to be able to go on CNN and cover this, because I don't know if I can think of a more important story right now. Not Iran being poisoned by Israeli bombs.
The sky being on fire.
Yeah, let's do the Zoran's wife post.
Liked posts that actually aren't bad.
Thing.
Unless you're a Zionist, then you treat them hysterically. But everybody else gets exactly why she liked those posts.
The lead on CNN.
How dare you call something a concentration camp?
I really think it's a problem if we start to hold people's wives or spouses as a because God knows what's happening with. I mean, I don't want to be responsible for my what now. I got divorced, so I guess I'm not responsible for what my ex-wife does. Only when she was my wife. On social media. But I really wonder what... is Olivia Rheingold married?
I'm going to say no, but I'll look it up.
I mean, we may need to look into this stuff. What about... Would Tapper's wife... Like, could you... Mm. If Jake Tapper's wife posted something on social media, would that be fair to sort of like assess that? I don't think so, unless like she worked on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's more like Goldman.
Mm.
But I don't know. This is going to be an interesting segment. Now, I'm not going to be on with Olivia Rheingold. Apparently now we're going.
Oh, that really?
She's going to be first. She's and then I'm going to be second.
She's busy monitoring the puddle at Times Square.
Yeah.
Why is she so afraid of debate?
I don't know.
Yeah, just a free exchange of ideas.
Oh, all right. It's 2:42. We got to get going. Job from New Orleans. I just can't get past what she's done to her lips on purpose. That was certainly a choice, a bad choice. I take back what I said about y'all caterpillar shaming that homunculus face earlier. The goose and the gander can both get the appearance related smoke. Yes, there you go.
Check out these faces in the fun app.
Exactly. This is what this show is about, folks. This is what we do. It is we just mock like we're in junior high. That is it. Yeah. Everybody knows that.
What, are we supposed to take Ben Shapiro and Olivia Rheingold seriously?
Kowalski from Nebraska, the price of fertilizer is up 30%. Global food inflation 5 to 10% is inevitable. The amount of damage it's going to cause the Iranian food supply will be significant. Most of their agriculture is concentrated around the Caspian Sea, so this oil being infused in their food will likely lead to an increase in cancer level for years. This is definitely a crime against humanity.
Yeah.
Sam, do we need to hold Supreme Court justices accountable for what their wives or husbands do? That's a good point, too.
Vergonha.
Oh, my gosh.
You should work Vergonha into the hit tonight.
Yes, I got to work on that.
What time is it? People are asking.
I think it's at 5:45.
Okay. The people want to know.
So glad it's in the first hour. So important.
Interesting times. Did you see the House Republicans are having their policy retreat this week at Trump's Doral? It's got Jennings and Ben Shapiro will speak regarding Republican messaging and the speed of new media, respectively. Interesting. Chris Burdick. The eyebrows are Ben's way of auditioning for Andy Rooney's old slot in 60 Minutes, maybe. 1877, Cars for Kids. Whoa, is the majority report against seed oils?
Yes.
Onion breath. Reporting was that U.S. had said, we will not attack oil infrastructure, and Israel did it against U.S. wishes. Oh, Israel. Spock.
I'll also just say I don't believe that the school was hit accidentally. I think and I don't trust America to investigate itself about that.
Spocko, there is still a nationwide shortage of ADHD drugs. They can make generic, but don't want to because the big drug companies don't want to make and don't make enough money. The generic drug companies should bribe Trump with all the Adderall he needs and a golden snorting straw. Four more. Number 13, how likely is it the Trump regime legit organizes a terrorist attack on U.S. soil to try and manufacture consent? I think that would be hard to pull off in the administration. But I think like when he said, like, you know, things can happen. Sometimes all you need to do is just like, I don't know, protract a Homeland Security shutdown, pull all the FBI agents off of Iran terror investigations.
Have them look at the fry cooks at your local Mexican restaurant.
Exactly. Have all the DHS people, all the ICE people, instead of like actually doing any type of real enforcement, go and see if they can arrest some moms dropping kids off at school. And then, you know, you see what happens.
Let the AIs try to entrap people into doing it.
Jonathan Armstead, can I make a guest suggestion? Dave Zirin has a book coming out in August called The People's Historian, The Outsized Life of Howard Zinn. Definitely.
Mm.
I love Dave. Jordy, PhD. You can put minoxidil on eyebrows and beards. So maybe it was a mistake. Maybe like he was trying to... What, honey? Ow, oh, God. Oh, no. I put it on one eyebrow, and he had to do the second to balance it out.
I can't just put it on my beard, because then my eyebrows won't look big enough. So he did it on both.
But I support the troops is etched into my memory forever. All right, two more. Dan from Columbus. Chuck Schumer taking a victory lap about funding Israel is like a quarterback bragging about getting sacked. Look at how many points I put on the board. And the final I am for the day. Incidentally, and that's not Kentucky Fried French Fries. Matt, Brian, Emma, great job today, folks. See you tomorrow.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah.